Okay, Parshas B'Shalach. This is one of the longest parshas in the Rabbeinu B'chai. So let's get started. So Rabbeinu B'chai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yizayin pasuk Gimel Matzrif LaKesef V'Kur LaZahav U'Bochi Libos Hashem. That a refining pot for silver, a furnace for gold, and Hashem tests the hearts of man. Test people's hearts. Okay, so Rabbeinu B'chai says this means that a person has to refine their hearts and their emotions, just like someone who's mitzarif kesef and gold, someone who refines silver and gold, they take out all the bad stuff and leave the good stuff. So too, bochin libos Hashem, when it comes to the heart, a person has to refine their heart to take out all the psolas and leave only the good. Another pshat he says in there is that it refers to in Lost in Love, when Hashem is done, judges people, so he'll be judged the Beinoni, the one who isn't clear if they're a tzaddik or a rasha, they're a Beinoni. So that's Bochin Libos Hashem, because everyone can tell who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha, the big tzaddik and the big rasha, but what about the Beinoni? So that's the Bochin Libos Hashem. And the third pshat he gives is that Hashem brings people to Nisayon. Why is that? He says, Kedei lefarsem zakus libam labrias, to let everyone know what a tzaddik they are. So, and that's also, of course, as he explains too, to get them to become high people on a high madriga. So, like by Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says that all the nisyonos the Jewish people went through in the desert, those were all to raise the level of bitachon. So, in other words, the fact that they didn't have water in the desert until they got the Be'er, and they didn't have bread until they got the man, and even when they got the man, they didn't get like a year's supply at once. And as he explains later on in the parsha, because that would be make it very heavy for them to carry, but also is to give them this midas habitachon. This is all part of the nisayon of the midbar to make them ready for Kabbalah Satara. They had to reach a level of bitachon. So therefore, Hashem made it that their man would rain every day, so that they would have nothing left for the next day, and they're stuck in the midbar, they're going to die. They'd have to have bitachon. Hashem would send them the next day. And so too, this part I didn't recall, the Kriyas Yamsuf itself, Hashem didn't split the whole sea. Do you know that? He split it only a little bit in front of them. And as they kept walking, it split further, 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 further. So the sea was splitting slowly but surely. So there was a constant fear. We don't see the other end of this. As they would go further, it would split more. It says, Hayamra Vayanos. It was going away. It was escaping from them. In other words, the water was constantly splitting, but it didn't split all at once. So again, they had to have bitachon. And so that is why Hashem wanted to take them through the midbar and not bring them straight in through in the Derech Karov, who Eretz Plishtim. Rather, he wanted to take them into a super dangerous midbar where they could have died to be Megadol their Midas HaBitachon. And that's how we get into the Parsha that says, strangely, not that way, right? The Pasuk, I don't know what the answer to this is, because that's his pshat, is the reason why Hashem didn't take them straight there, Eretz Plishtim, Ki Karov, who, because he wanted to be test them in the midbar. The pasuk says something else. Maybe that's another reason. I'm not sure, because he also brings Rabbeinu Hananel, who says the reason why Hashem didn't bring them straight in is because Hashem wanted to make all these big miracles so that they would again know Hashem runs the world. So the answer, perhaps, to this question of the pasuk doesn't say that. It says that Hashem didn't take them right in. Because they might see war, as like Rabbeinu Hananel says, okay, so just put it in the Plishtim's hearts to be not warlike. Why, he just could have made them not interested in going to war with Bnei Yisrael, and then they could have gone in. Rather, the reason that couldn't happen, they had to go to the Midbar, is either like Rabbeinu B'chai says, to make these nisyonos for them, raise their level of bitachon, or like Rabbeinu Hananel says, because Hashem wanted to make the miracles so that they should see that Hashem runs the world. Now, I'm going to mention this only because my 9-year-old son had the same question. The first pasuk says, "Vahim b'shalach poras ha'am," and it says he didn't take them derech etz plishtim ki karov hu ki amar elokim pen yinachem ha'am, lest the nation change their mind when they see milchama and go back to Mitzrayim. What does the word lest mean? Why didn't it say Ki yinachem ha'am birasam milchama b'shavim mitzrayim. Because they're going to see war and go home. Lest is like for you and me. We're afraid. I don't want to do this because I'm afraid this might happen. Hashem isn't afraid. Hashem knows what's going to happen. And if Hashem said, I'm not taking them this way, it's not because he wasn't sure what they would do. Hashem is Hashem. He knows what they would do. So it should have said, I'm not taking them this way because I know what's going to happen. They're going to turn around and go back home. So anyway, Rabbeinu Bachai says that the word pen here does not mean... Rabbeinu Bachai has this problem also. So he says the word pen does not mean lest. Here it means kedei, so that they shall not see war and turn home. In other words, of course, Hashem knew that it was a fact. But as kedei means so that they should not be given the opportunity to turn back home. Now the thing they're afraid of is, of course, war. They did see war with Amalek. So that he says is different because Amalek, first of all, went out to get them. Not that they, it's not, in other words, when they were commanded to go to Israel, then they would run into war. So then they would want to turn back home because they were commanded to conquer Eretz Israel, as opposed to here. The Amalekim, they had no commandment at that point to go after them, and they came to them, so it would not make them want to turn home. Okay, it says they went up, Pachamushim, it means they went up, armored. Why is that? Rabbeinu Bachai asked, the Jewish people in the Midbar were not doing things naturally, what they need swords for. So Hashem, the Rabbeinu Bachai answers, Hashem wants everything to work as naturally as possible, unless necessary, not that way. So therefore they came up with arms so that they could ward off attacks like what happened with Amalek. Then it says, Laleches Yomam V'Laila, to go day and night, that the Jews were going... Sounds like we're going day and night. Rabbeinu Bachai says, I'll peep shot. Yes, that's exactly right. In other words, they were walking day and night because they were so in a rush to get to Har Sinai, to get the Torah. Also, this walking day and night made Paro think that they were escaping. Now, remember, they're supposed to go for 3 days. And they're walking day and night, so then they look like they're escaping when they're rushing so fast. Also, Hashem told them to turn back. Ve'yashuva ve'yachanu, he told them to turn back a little bit. It was all to make Paro think that they were lost and confused. And they were supposed to camp. It says they camped lefnei Baal Tzafon. That was also supposed to mess up Paro, make him think that it's his God, that Avodah Zarah is helping them. And so some of that you probably know of, but here's something I don't recall. It says, Vayigad lo ki baracha'am, when Paro is told that the nation ran away, Vayigad lo ki baracha'am. So Rabbeinu Bachai says that means Paro found out about the Bris Bein HaBasarim. The Bris Bein HaBasarim says they're supposed to be in Mitzrayim how many years? 400, right? How long were they actually there? 210. What's the gematria of barach? 210. So Vayigad lemelech Paro ki baracha'am. That's Gematria 210. They're supposed to be there 400, and Barach Ha'am, they're only there 210. He found out about that, so that gave him also Chizik to chase after the Jews. And who did he chase after them with? His chariots. Now, didn't the animals all get killed in the Makos? Well, it said if you were left out in the hail, you'd get killed, but the people, the Pasuk says, Hayari Yitzvar Hashem, brought in their horses. So this means that these horses were from the people who are Yorei Sadvar Hashem, right? Otherwise, if they left their animals out, they would have been killed. So the people who brought their animals in, the Pasuk calls them the Yorei Dvar Hashem, they brought their animals in before Barad. So it's those people, the quote-unquote Yorei Dvar Hashem, who are the ones who are chasing after the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Gemara says, Tov Shebagayim Harog, based on this, Tov Shebagayim Harog. That's during Shas Mechama, the Rishonim say. He said this is only at a time of Mechama we say Tov Shebagayim Harog. Regular day, it is not a license to go be killing people. Like Rabbeinu Bachai points out, even B'Shas Mechama, we are Poseach B'Shalom. If we're going to attack a place, we're supposed to give them an opportunity to leave, even by the Zayin Amamin, where it's Lo Sechayik Al Neshama, you're supposed to offer them a piece to leave. So it's only Mishas Mechama that we say Tov Shebagayim Harov. Okay, now we have, they get to the Yamsuf, and there's a fight, who's going to go in? Which Shevet's going to go in first? Each one wanted to go in first, and then Nachshon Ben Aminadav, he was Miskaber, and he went in first, and that's what we say, B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim in Halal, Haisa Yehuda Lakacho. Yehuda made the Kiddush Hashem. He went in first. Yisrael Mam Shalosav, and Yisrael were under his rulership because he beat them out. He got in. He made it that he could go in. Okay. Then it says, Moshe stuck out. Taharimis Matcha Neteis Yadcha. You Moshe stretch out your mata. And stretch out your haremis matcha. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand. So Rabbeinu Bachai says this means that Moshe did not stretch out his staff over the sea, unlike the movie. He put his stick aside. That's what it means. Ata haremis matcha. It means lift up your stick and put it aside and stretch out your hand over the sea. Why? Because people were saying, "Oh, it's something special about that mata." And without the matah, nothing can happen. So it's magic. So that's why Hashem said, put your matah aside, use your hands. Stick your hands over the Yamsuf, and it will split. Now, the encampments, the way Rabbeinu Bachai described it, we know that there's the Anan that goes with the Jews, and there's the Esh that goes with the Jews, and it went behind them. So he says the order was, he says both went behind them, the Esh and the Anan. So there was the Mitzrim, who were behind them, then the Anan, then the Esh, then Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so that means, he says, that the Bnei Yisrael had light. And just like when you're in the street and you see someone with their light on in their office or whatever, you can see them, they can't see you. That's what it was at that time when they were by the Yam Suf at night, that the Mitzrim could see the Jews. The Jews could not see the Mitzrim. There was a cloud in between them and there was light, so the people where the light was, they could see. In other words, the Jews could see their dinner table, I guess, whatever, you know, where they were, but they couldn't see out where the Mitzrim were, but the Mitzrim could see them. And he says this was so that everybody stayed put. In other words, if the Yidden had seen the Esh in front of them, then they could have moved at night. Hashem wanted this was supposed to happen in the morning, Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Jews stayed put, and also the Mitzrim wouldn't have been able to see the Yidden if the light was in front of them. So this way, everybody stayed where they were. And then the next day, they would, when it was clear, they would chase after them. Okay, now he tells you what many of us are familiar with, the various nisim that happened at Yam Suf. Well, number one, the sea split. Number two, it split in a way that it was like a box over their heads. In other words, it split side, and on top. It was like they were walking through a box. That's what he says. Also, the sea hardened. It was dry, and the water itself hardened into into pieces. And the Mitzri way was kept muddy. It was split into 12 different paths, as we know. The Gozer Yamsuf Ligzarim, it was cut into paths, 12 different ones. In between each one, all the water was clear. They could see between them. And there was water, sweet water that came out. So those are basically the Nisim that he lists that were at the Yamsuf. And it says, "Vayasar is Ofan Markavosav." When the Mitzrim were going, he removed Ofan Markavosav, which means the wheels of their chariot. But of course, Kabbalah, he says it means the Ofan refers to Ofan as a wheel, and also a circle similar to a galgal. So he says their koach, not their sar, that he says a different name, but their koach, their galgal in Shemayim was Ma'adim. Red star, the red planet, and Hashem took that away, their galgal, and that he says is the Samael, but that's not the mazel of Mitzrim, but that was their ofan, so he removed that. And ofan is spelled without a vav, and the gematria of ofan is that Samael. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you something else, Kabbalistic, which obviously I don't fully understand, but it's interesting. It says over there that it's Vayar Yisrael as Yad HaGedola, which he said, so the Yad HaGedola, he says, is Midas Adin, and it's called Malchus. That's a Bechina of Malchus. Okay, I don't know what that means, but I can tell you, he says, that's why we say in Davening, Malchuscha Ra'u V'necha Bokeh Yom L'Fnei Moshe, because it's the Malchus that causes the sea to split. Okay, I guess if you know Kabbalah, you'll appreciate that more, but I'm just reading the words. Anyway, okay, then it says Vayiru Asam Vayaminu Bashem Vayiru Ham, and then it says Vayaminu. So he says that Yira and Amuna is the ikra of the whole Torah, of course. And he says, he gets into a side discussion about Amen, because he's talking about Amunah. So Amen, he says, Chazal were Masakin Amen, because it comes from the word Amunah. And Amen means that you have, it's a Lashon Amunah, and Hodah, like you believe that it's true, and you're giving thanks to Hashem for whatever the bracha was. That's what you mean when you say Amen. And then he says something fascinating to me, anyway. He quotes the Gemara in Nazir that says, Gadol ha'ona amen yosir min ha'mavarech. It's greater someone who answers amen more than the one who makes the bracha itself. Why is that? He says, Kazal pishnayim eidim yakum davar. The first guy who says it is aid one, but you're aid two, you were the one who made it mekuyim. You're the one that finished the eidus, and therefore that's why it is greater, the one who says amen. I think they say Rav Chaim Volozhiner would never make a bracha unless there was someone there to answer Amen. I also heard once, I'm just throwing this in because it's interesting, Rav Avadya Yosef, you know, there's a machlokas between the Ashkenazim, whatever, the Ashkenazim is found in Bari Priya Gafin or Bari Priya Geffen, which do you say, Hagafin or Hagefin? So the reason why you would put a comma, it's obviously the word is normally Geffen, but the reason you turn it into a comma is when a word is at the end of a pasuk or end of a sentence. A segel becomes a comma, so the Geffen becomes Gafin, Mashivarach, Marina, Geshem, or Gashem. So if you hold, you're at an end of a sentence, and then you say, Bari Priya Geffen. So Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal used to say that the Sfaradim would say, Bari Priya Geffen, so you say, why don't they say Hagafin, like the Ashkenazim, it's the end of a sentence. No, it's not the end of the sentence. The end of the sentence is Amen. As many, that's this idea, that Amen is really almost part of the bracha. And anyway, the way Rabbeinu Bechai is explaining it is because that's the one that makes the Shnayim Edom on it. Okay, so then we have the Shiras Hayam, Az Yashir. So it says, Vayomru Leimor. So Rabbeinu Bechai points out the whole Az Yashir is repeats. Vayomru Leimor, Kika'o, Ga'ah. And anyway, it's all repeating itself. And similar to what we find at the end of Halal, which we have repeating things. And there's a reason, Al Pi Kabbalah, why it's supposed to be repeating for two different aspects. It sounded to me like Rachamim and Din, but whatever it is, there's a Kabbalistic reason why it repeats. And it just says something interesting. Vahili Lishua, Yeshua is the word you use by the Gulas Mitzrayim, you know, a non-final Geula, or a non-final Yeshua is called Yeshua. When you say Yeshuos, then you're talking about the ultimate Geula. Like it says, Kos Yeshua Sessa. That's at the time of Mashiach. So Yeshuos means the time of Mashiach. Yeshua means and before Mashiach comes. And also, he also mentions what we're all familiar with, or many of us familiar with the word Shira versus Shir. Shira means a shir also. That's not a complete geula. It's not lasid lavo. That's why az yashir is a shira hazos, because it's like it's a lashon nekeva. It could be pregnant and have more tzaros. Shir chadash is means that that's a song that we sing lasid lavo, that there's no more tzaros after that. Okay, then he says something interesting about this famous ra shiv chaliya mal shelo ra Yecheskel ben Buzi. He says it's not the pshat that a shivcha reached a higher level than Yecheskel ben Buzi. All it means to say is that the shivcha aliyam saw something that Yecheskel didn't see. Not that she was greater than Yecheskel, but she saw something that Yecheskel never saw. He also says something interesting about the word ka, azi v'zimras ka. So he says ka is midas adin. And there was doing midas adin against the mitzrim. But ka is a lashon midas adin, and that's why we say im avanos tishmar ka. Our Ashrei Asher Tiasrenu Ka, Mitrasa Salam Denu. So Ka's Lashon of Midas Adin. Just interesting. Anyway, Shiras Hayam has 18 psukim, he says, which are negative the 18 chulios in the Shedra, because the Shedra will come back to us, the Tchias HaMesim, and the whole Az Yashir is a remnant to Tchias HaMesim. Like we know, Moshe is talking, says Az Yashir, which means in the future, even though they were going to die eventually. So it means Lasid Lavo, that they'll come back and say it. Okay, it says the Jews went 3 days without water. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says it doesn't mean that. It means they went a distance that one would cover in 3 days, in one day, and they didn't have water for one day because they went to survive 3 days without water. So Rabbeinu Hananel says it just means they covered a distance of 3 days, but it's not that they didn't have water for actually 3 days, they didn't have water for one day. Then it says, if you listen to my Torah, Kol HaMachala Asher Samti B'Mitzrayim Lo Asim Alecha, So Rabbeinu Bachai says that it's referring to the ten makos. That's the machla asher santi b'mitzrayim, and the gematria of asher is the same gematria as the tzach hadash b'achav. Another interesting one. Okay, then we have the man. The man is called dak mechuspas. Mechuspas means peeled, and it was circular, and it was like white like frost, and sweet. That's what the man looked like. It was like a seed, a white seed, a white peeled seed, and it rained at night. Why at night? So they shouldn't have to, you know, it should be, they shouldn't have to worry, it shouldn't be raining on their heads in the daytime. They can go get it nicely. It falls while they're raining. They wake up in the morning, it's ready to go. And he quotes the pasuk that says, in general, that if you have bitachon in Hashem, Hashem will make it easier for you. So it says, in Tehillim, Shav lachem hashkimei kum me'achere sheves, it's a waste for you, those who get up early and stay up late at night. Kein yitein liyidido shena, he gives the same things to the ones he loves while they're sleeping. As you have bitachon in Hashem, Hashem sends you your stuff at night while you're sleeping in bed, you don't need to work so hard. If you don't have bitachon, then you have to do more. I'll just throw this in. There is a Taz in Evan Ezra that actually applies this to learning Torah. It says if you stay up too late at night, then you're going to be overtired the next day and you won't learn well. You'd be better off sleeping, and you get as much learning done as if you stay up, wake up early and stay up late when you're tired, when you learn. I just would add to that, that's of course assuming you have a whole day to learn. If you only have a few hours to learn, then sometimes you have to get up early and stay up late. Anyway, but Rabbeinu Bachai refers this to talk to Hashem, bringing the parnasa to people who have bitachon in an easy way. Same like the man rained at night while they're sleeping, so that when they wake up in the morning, they'll be all ready to go. Pasuk also describes the man as being Kein Habadolach, which he says means a pearl, which fits his basic description. And that's, I think, a great way to picture it as a pearl. That sounds like basically more or less what it looked like. And this man, by the way, he says, comes from the word matana. And they didn't know what kind of matana, but it was a matana. And he says that it was or elyon niskashim. Whatever that means, it means it is a very spiritual type of food. He also says mechuspas is gematria remach, because it was completely nivla, completely swallowed up by the body, by your remach evarim, and it helped them reach a high level of ruchnius so that they can get the Torah and they can grow in Torah. They also had the slav, and the Rebbeinu Bachai says they had, and others say this too, of course, that they had the slav and the man all 40 years, even though the pasuk says they ate the man 40 years. It's just because that was a bigger nace. That's why the pasuk mentions it, but he says they had the slav and the man all 40 years. Okay, now who are you supposed to collect it for? It says you collect it for you and for your ohel, which means your family. It says, Mispar nafsha sechem ishla sherba alo tikachu. So from here we learn, derechas machta, the person has to, you support your families. The husband goes out and he had to bring for his whole family and wife, kids, everything. That's Rabbeinu Chananel learns from there. To support your family. That's a zechiyuv to support your family. And then Aaron is told to put one tzintzenes man, one piece of man, to as a reminder for all time by the Aaron. And it should be lifnei Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bachai says that's a remez that the parnasa to Aaron is the Levim and the Kohanim come out of Aaron. So he's saying it's a remez that the Talmidei Chachamim, their parnasa is always put lifnei Hashem. In other words, it's as if it's given to Aaron to put this tzentzena of man by the Aaron lifnei Hashem. So the parnasa of Talmidei Chachamim is given to Hashem directly. It's munach lifnei Hashem. And mishmeres l'dor osechem, it's always there by Hashem forever. Then we have the war with Amalek. So he mentions that if Moshe davened, and eventually his hands became weak and he had to stop. So he says if Moshe had davened too long, he would have stopped all the bad in the world. And that's why the person's not supposed to daven more than 3 hours. And he also mentions that it says Vayachlish Yoshua. Yoshua weakened the Amalek, and that's what he says is because the Amalekim used astrology, and in their astrology, they're able to see which people in their nation were not supposed to die that year, and they took them for the war. And so it doesn't say that Yeshua completely destroyed them. He weakened them, and he just saved the Bnei Yisrael. So from here, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says that's the way Hashem runs the world. In other words, Hashem doesn't want to redo the world. So when he needs to do something, he'll save the people he wants to save and do what he wants to do without redoing the whole world. So if in the way the world is supposed to be, these people aren't supposed to lose, so Hashem will make it that somehow the Yidden will be saved and will be take care of the enemies without it uprooting the whole astrology, because they weren't supposed to be destroyed, so they won't be destroyed, but still will be saved. It says similar by Avram. It says Avram wasn't supposed to have kids, and Hashem says to him, don't worry, you saw in astrology that Avram doesn't have kids. Avram won't have kids. Avraham will have kids. I'll change your name, Menahem. Why didn't Hashem just say, I'm Hashem? The astrology says you're not going to have kids. I'm Hashem. I say you are going to have kids. Hashem doesn't do that. He doesn't rearrange the whole world for no reason when he could do it a different way. Hashem works around the system he created because Hashem wants that system for whatever reason that is with Hashem.